Bolivia's poor and indigenous majority has fought battle after battle against a slew of neoliberal economic policies. In 2000, Bolivians successfully blocked privatization of the country's water. Last summer, social movements shut down the capital city, occupied oil fields, and forced the resignation of two successive presidents with their demand for nationalization of the oil and gas industries. Now these social movements are claiming as their latest victory the election of Evo Morales as Bolivia's president. Morales is the country's first indigenous president and is the leader of the Movement Towards Socialism, or MAS, party. Last weekend, during a swearing-in ceremony, Morales repeated his pledges to fight neoliberalism and return control of the country to the indigenous majority. Adriana Paz is a Bolivian activist and journalist living in Vancouver. She recently returned from Bolivia and has joined us in the studio. Good morning, Adriana.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me here.
Thank you for coming down. You were in Bolivia at the time of the December election. Mm-hmm. What was the mood there since Morales has been elected president?
Well, the mood before Evo has elected. Well, I think the general mood, it's a lot of happiness and hope. And almost because the businessman people, they are kind of afraid. They are just saying all the worst thing that can happen in Bolivia. But the general mood is a lot of hope and happiness. I think that the decision of the people of Bolivia to change the course of history by electing a total and another type of government, it has been very, very clear. So the mood is happiness and celebration. And of course, there are certain uncertainties because it's totally new for the people to be on the power of the government. And there are a lot of hope and happiness.
After his inauguration last weekend, Morales announced the appointment of his cabinet ministers. Is this government structured differently than others have been?
Yes. The new restructuring of the government has been begun with main changes, like the creation of new and key ministries, like the Ministry of the Water and Mining, and the elimination of the Ministry of the Indigenous People. But those key ministries, like the Water and Mining, it's a very strategic, not only in terms that they are going to pay attention, special attention to the recovery of the natural resources like the water and like the gas, but because the social movements that have been led to the resignation of the two presidents have come from that sector, the people who has mobilized for the water war and for the miners having also have played a great and key role on the recovery of all these natural resources. So it's not only to pay attention to the natural resources, but also to strengthen and to give to reinforce the organization of these sectors that are very, very the life and the energy of the social movements in Bolivia. So that's a very important change. And also talking about who is in the head of these ministries, this is also something very new that this government is changing, because usually the ministries are being given to the fat cats of the people from the coalition, from the ruling coalition. Now the ministries are in hands of the people, from leaders, labor leaders, indigenous people, and peasants, poor farm workers. So, and a small amount of leftist academics and urban people, we can say. But it's, for example, we have 16 ministers are indigenous, and they really come from the base. So that's a huge change, and that can put more pressure on making change fast, because it's people that never have been before in these power positions. But I think it's a democratic revolution.
Are there any of the new cabinet ministers that you could talk specifically about?
Yes. For example, the water ministry, The minister of the water ministry, it's the leader, the labor leader of El Alto, who has led the struggle to recover the water for the municipality. So that's an example. The other example is, for example, the minister of the economy. I know that person. She's a woman. She's a peasant woman who came from the basis. So she, it's amazing that people like her, it's on the head of that ministries. And also the minister of mining, it's the leader of the miners. So that's a very concrete examples of the change that the Evo Morales government is doing.
What challenges do you think that these more popular or labor-based leaders will have now that they're running the country?
I think one of the main challenges is going to be are going to come from internally. I mean, the social movements are going now to press to the government and to their own ministers to meet their demands in short-term period, and that's going to be a challenge to transform that feeling in a feeling of inclusion on the exercising of the power. So because there are a lot of expectations, and we cannot forget that Bolivia is still the poorest country in South America, so they want to see changes very soon. So transforming that feeling into an inclusion of the exercise of power. And well, the challenge of the external challenge, I think, are the most worries challenge that this government is going to face, because the challenge is to join to the left regional bloc that Venezuela and Cuba and Argentina are forming. But meanwhile, Evo is going to still to have to negotiate delicate issues like the with USA, like the drug wars, like the NAFTA or ALCA, the trade. The trade agreements. So the challenge is how to join to the left bloc, but without still having to deal with the U.S., but from a point of view that with sovereignty and not from submission attitude. So that is quite a challenge to balance that.
Is there a lot of pressure from people's expectations of what this new government will deliver?
Yes, there are a lot of expectations. As I said before, there are a lot of happiness, but a lot of hope in the meantime. So the leader, the labor leaders and the bases have been saying last week ago that they are going to have patient, that they know that this is going to be a struggle for everybody. One struggle was to go to the power, and now it's to really keep in the power and trying to meet their demands. So they are like in a good terms, and everybody's willing to wait. So they are very conscious that their leaders need time and need support.
Nationalization of oil and gas resources has been a central demand of Bolivia's social movements and is something Morales committed to during the election. How is the new government approaching this issue?
Well, yes, nationalization has been in the center of the main struggles and demands and blockades for the last 2 years. So now it's a requirement, it's a demand that the mass have to address this issue as soon as possible. But there is a nationalization can mean different things for different people. There are the radical people in Bolivia, the indigenous radical party like the MIP of Felipe Quispe, that for them nationalization is means to have 100% of the ownership of the natural resources and the infrastructure of the oil corporations. But for different people means different things. And for the mass approach, nationalization means that they are going to still having oil corporations in Bolivia, but they are going to be partners, no owners of the natural resources like is right now. So they are going to deal with them in these terms. The state and the government is the owner of the natural resources, and the government is going to decide to whom, when, and to where they are going to transport and they are going to sell the gas. So it's a very different perspective and approach, but they cannot change the rules In a short-term period, because first they have to hold the a constituent assembly. That's the scenario to change the rules in order to be able to negotiate with a better conditions with the oil corporations. So the approach is that we still need the money from the oil corporations, but we are but they are not only more the owners of the gas. So that's the mass approach, and I think it's a, they call it a very realistic approach and pragmatical approach, considering that Bolivia still needs the foreign aid, so we are going to use it, but from a different attitude.
Will this be enough for the more radical groups who want more complete nationalization?
Some of them, they don't agree, but these voices of radical voices, they exist, they are, and it's good that they are there, but they don't have too much popular support. Right now the people, they are conscious that they are going to need time, the changes are going to come, but not very soon. And Morales had said that we are not going to see main changes on economy, because they don't want to promise anything that they are not going to be able to achieve this year, but they have promised that they are going to set up all the necessary scenario for the Constituent Assembly. So that's now, the Constituent Assembly is on August, so that's the greatest scenario to really end with the colonial state, as Evo Morales said, and to set new rules to deal with the oil corporations and multilateral financial institutions.
What are your hopes for the process to rewrite the constitution?
Well, I am very, very optimistic. I think this is the time for Bolivia to really recreate the refound, as they said, refound the government, the new state. I think this is the great opportunity to give the power to the people, the constituent power to the people, and to create new rules to end with the colonial state. I think it's going to be a very difficult process because there are different confronted positions, people from different regions of Bolivia, they have different points of view, and there are different kind of ethnias and indigenous groups, and they have a different vision of the country. But it's so good that finally all these visions are going to get together on this important scenario, and so this is an excellent democratic exercise of the democracy. So I am very optimistic with this historic opportunity that Bolivia has, and I am pretty confident that the people is going to really take advantage, and they are going to be able to refound a new state finally after 500 years.
Morales has been talking about how Bolivia now forms part of the axis of good in Latin America, along with Venezuela, Cuba, and Argentina. What do you think Bolivia will contribute to this network of left-leaning governments?
Well, I think as soon as Evo has been elected, the first thing that he did was to go to Cuba, right? Like saying, it's clear that we're going to join to the left bloc in South America, in Latin America. And then he went to Venezuela, which is also key. He went and he said, it's clear that we are going to make agreements and we are going to join to this left bloc. And in the last week have been made important agreements with Venezuela and with Cuba. So Bolivia is willing to be part of the large energy bloc that Venezuela with Argentina and Brazil are creating. And Bolivia is in a very key position in terms of geography. So Bolivia is willing to be the link between north and south and west and east. And it in infrastructure, but also in policies of redistribution, transportation, and to be partners of what countries. So this geographical key position is going to be one of the main contributions of Bolivia, but also, of course, the willing to be part of a left blocked. And Evo, it's funny because he always, well, I have to say that many people are like, well, USA, concretely, they say that, yeah, Evo Morales, it's part of this block, they call the El Eje del Mal, it's like the evil edge. So, and it's funny because it's just an attempt to be to be joined to the left block for Latin America.
Well, thank you very much for coming to speak with me this morning.
Well, thank you too much for giving me the opportunity to share a bit what is happening in Bolivia right now.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Bolivian activist and journalist Adriana Paz. Adriana will be one of the speakers at Bolivia, A People's Victory, an event sponsored by the Canada-Bolivia Solidarity Committee. The event will be held tonight at the Dogwood Center, 706 Clark Drive. A panel discussion will begin at 7 p.m., followed by Bolivian food, music, and dancing. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.